And hello, lacrosse fans, and welcome back again to another episode of Inside the Hive. It's Jake Elliott, the voice of the Minnesota Swarm, joined by Alex Shimke from mnswarm.com. As we're back for another episode here, today's guest, we will have the rookie Jake Hard on, as well as Andrew Watt. So we'll look forward to talking to those guys. But before we get started here, Al, let's recap what's happened in the week of the National Lacrosse League here so far. A couple of fantastic games between Colorado and Philly this week as both road teams come out victorious in those contests. And the first one, you saw Mundorf score a goal with, I believe, just over 2 seconds left to pull out the victory in that one. And then that game also featuring just an absolutely unbelievable goal by John Grant Jr. in that one. I don't know if you had a chance to see that goal or not, but man, oh man, what a goal.
Yeah, no, actually I was tuned into that game that night, saw the game winner there from Philadelphia. And yeah, John Grant Jr.'s goal, getting put on Yahoo and also making ESPN top 10 plays. Great exposure for the league. I don't know how he snuck that one through there. Unbelievable shot. You just kind of hope that maybe we can get one of those from a Swarm player here soon and get the same kind of recognition, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Junior's been at it for a long time and one of the best in the game. And I'm sure one of our players have got that in their stick sometime here this season. Let's hope so. And then those guys turn around, they go back to Philadelphia a couple of days later, and that game goes into overtime, a high-scoring game in that one. But then they get to OT, and the goalies kind of steal the show in that one before Adam Jones finally gets the winner for the Mammoth.
The Mammoths there certainly didn't want to get swept by the Wings last weekend and lose a position of first place. And, yeah, coming back, heading out to Philadelphia, I think actually the Wings were hosting at Dognate that night too, and you know, Swarm fans are pretty familiar with that, and I know that turned out pretty well for them. But, yeah, very exciting weekend of lacrosse. And then, obviously, the Swarm, not the result we wanted to see, losing in Washington 2013, but a lot of exciting games this past weekend.
Yeah, we'll just recap a couple here before we get to our game in Washington. And speaking of Washington, they were in Edmonton the night before, and it was the Rush, another team that we're going to see this weekend that ended up pulling out a pretty dramatic 10-9 victory in a game that Edmonton really needed to have, and they get a win over on their home floor over the Stealth on Saturday night.
Yeah, I know the Rush are one team that Joe Sullivan has been mentioning that you know, things will eventually start clicking for them. They got a lot of talent there on offense, which, you know, guys like Sean Williams, Brian Ward, Aaron Wilson, Zach Greer, a couple of ex-Swarm guys there in particular. So I think they're definitely better than their 3-7 record stands right now, and it'll certainly be a tough battle for the Swarm on Saturday night after hosting Calgary on Friday night. So that should be a fun one. Only trip to Edmonton this year. I'll be interested to see how that one turns out.
Yeah, and the two other games that took place previously in the week, Toronto and Rochester, as Nick Rose gets traded from the Roughnecks back to Toronto, where he's from, and puts on a pretty good display there as they handle Rochester rather easily. And then it was Calgary and Buffalo coming off those two victories, one against us and the other over Toronto. They go into Calgary and absolutely get smoked. And a game that saw some action at the end of that with a couple of Buffalo players jumping, a couple of Roughneck players, a few fights breaking out into that one. And then we read in the media that Darris Kilgore, you know, wasn't the man who instigated that. And it was kind of the players that took that upon themselves, and things got a little ugly at the end of that game, and then Darris Kilgore decided to rip into his team pretty good in the press. As I think that opened the eyes of a lot of readers when we all saw that.
Yeah, I was more surprised, just to be honest, by the box score there. Quite a blowout. I didn't expect Buffalo to lay such an egg like that after, you know, winning two games in a row. And then obviously Kilgore's comments were certainly interesting to read, but just shows what kind of team Calgary is. You know, they're a tough team, and Swarm will definitely have their hands full this Friday night, and it's certainly nice to have a win previously from this season against the Roughnecks. Definitely have some confidence there for the Swarm, but yeah, they're capable of putting up those kind of performances, and you can bet that the Swarm will be ready this Friday to take everything that the Roughnecks have.
Yeah, I believe the Swarm have won their last two contests against Calgary dating back to last year, where they were successful inside the Hive against the Roughnecks. We'll see if we can make it three in a row on Friday night from the Xcel Energy Center. As Calgary, you know, coming in as one of the hottest teams in the league right now, and we're coming off another loss, our second straight loss against the Washington Stealth. Well, not our second loss against the Stealth, but one to Buffalo and then to Washington. And, you know, the room, Alec, after that game was pretty down. And, you know, emotions were running high after that. And I kind of sat back for a bit and took a look, you know, and you look around the league and you can go down the list where Washington, Toronto, Buffalo, Edmonton, they've all had their struggles this season. They've all had pretty extensive losing streaks. And, you know, it's a really tough league to win in at the best of times. And, you know, Washington really kind of came into that game and played like their season was on the line. And I really feel like, you know, you have to do that every single night if you want to win in this league.
Yeah, we've been saying it from week one, right? There's a lot of parity in the National Lacrosse League this season, and every week you really don't know what to expect. You don't know what team's going to, you know, step up and maybe what team's going to slip a little bit. Like you said, I think Washington definitely kind of played like their season was on the line last week, and, you know, as far as playoff positioning goes, they're fighting for that final spot with both divisions fighting for that final playoff spot. You know, every game right now matters. It's almost playoff season, so... for the Swarm, you just keep your heads high. You know, we were away for a month and a half. That's not an easy task. You don't do that in any other professional sport. So it's hard to really, you know, take these two losses too hard because, you know, we haven't been home and we haven't had that kind of, you know, extra fan support. So I think it's going to be really, really big for the Swarm this Friday to get back at the X, get that support, you know, have some fans cheering for you rather than booing for you. I know Suits was mentioning that as well in his recent Q&A. So.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens this Friday, and I think that's going to certainly get everyone back on board.
Yeah, and, you know, as hard as it was a disappointing loss, but as hard as the guys were taking that loss, that's really the kind of big picture that you got to look at is that, yeah, that was a long four-game road trip, but, you know, we got off to a 2-0 start on that trip, and, yeah, it's disappointing to finish 2-2, but going .500 on the road in this league is a pretty good thing, and, you know, we're 5-5. We're sitting at .500 after 10 games of the season, 6 to go, and 4 of our 6 are at home. So, you know, if you look at the big picture, yeah, that was a disappointing loss in the last couple of games of the road trip, but you got to think positive and look at the big picture, and we're sitting okay right now. So, you know, I kind of like to look at it as a half full sort of thing.
Right. I mean, we could be at Edmonton or Washington's position, you know, at Edmonton's 3-7, Washington's at 4-8. It could be a lot worse. And you look at those two games that we lost on the road trip, Calgary and Washington, and obviously the team got off to slow starts in both those games, but I was really impressed with just how they came back in both contests. You know, not just letting the game get out of hand, kind of like what happened with Calgary and Buffalo, but actually putting up some goals and tidying up a little bit on defense. And obviously, you know, they got each game within a couple goals, but, you know, when you're down by five with, you know, only 7 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, it's a pretty tough task to come back against. But, you know, a lot of fight from the team. You know, if they are getting their butts kicked, you know, they're not going to just take it. It was good to see that from the group.
Yeah, a very positive sign. And as a coach, that's really what you look for. As long as the work ethic is still there, then everything else is kind of correctable. And that was kind of the message after the game from Coach Sullivan. It was, you know, when we stick to our game plan and we play Swarm lacrosse, we're a tough team to beat. And I look for the boys to get back into that mindset coming in here on Friday. All right, and I believe we have Jay Card on the line here, so let's welcome Jay Card inside the Hive. Jay, are you there?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. My pleasure, and thanks for joining us. Jason, first thing I always ask lacrosse players right off the bat is, how did you get started playing lacrosse?
You know, I actually I grew up playing hockey, and you know, one thing led to another, and there's this new sport, you know, everyone was talking about, and so all my friends started getting into it, and next thing you know, I was trying it, and as soon as I started playing, I fell in love. And, you know, it's been going on for now 18, 19 years.
So you're a pretty young lad when you picked up your first lacrosse stick then?
I was. I think I was 3. So getting
young. That might be the youngest so far. The first time I had a chance to watch you play was in my hometown of Coquitlam, was at the U19 World Championships.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, now, when I first saw you were this little, tiny, scrawny kid, and I thought to myself, this guy is playing on Team Canada. Who is this Jason Card? But as the tournament went along, you really kind of showed me that there was a reason that you got picked on that team. I know you kind of came up short against the USA in the finals there, but talk about that experience, about playing teams from all over the world and playing with the most elite players in that age group at that time.
Well, it's definitely an honor anytime you're representing your country. I met a lot of good friends along the way, and just playing in your hometown, at the World Championship was definitely a very cool experience. And it's obviously something I'll never forget. Obviously I'd love to win that gold medal, so that's still on my unfinished list. So hopefully I'm fortunate enough to make the next Team Canada team and win the gold.
Yeah, I guess that'll be coming up soon. And part of the coaching staff on that Team Canada team was Gary Gate. Now, everybody in the world lacrosse knows who Gary Gate is, but probably very few have had a chance to be coached by him. What was that like, and what kind of knowledge did he pass on to you?
He's obviously, Gary Gate, he speaks for himself, but, I learned a lot of things along the way with him, just, a lot of lacrosse, different techniques, but just the way he carries himself on and off the field. He's a class act, and he taught me some valuable lessons that, I can, translate to, life. And, he's one of those coaches, he's not going to scream and yell at you, but, he doesn't say a lot, but what he does say is very important. And you want to, listen into what he has to say. And, he's a great coach.
Awesome. Now, leading up to the National Lacrosse League draft, probably had a pretty good idea you were going to be drafted, but what was it like sitting there waiting for your name to be called?
Well, it was actually I was getting anxious. I had no idea what was going to happen. I talked to a few different teams, so everything was up in the air. It was actually very exciting. And, just to have no idea, just the unknown of where I'm going to be playing in the next season. It was a cool experience and a different feeling. I've never really had a chance to go through that. And, I was fortunate enough to get picked up by the Minnesota Swarm.
And so you come to Minnesota. Is there guys on the team that you knew before you got to the roster, or did you know anybody?
I've grown up with Andrew Suter all my life. I've known him. We've been buddies for a long time. And, as soon as I found out I got drafted, I think he was the first one I called. And, I met a lot of guys, and Evan Kirk as well. When I found out he got drafted, we're all from the same area. So it was kind of cool getting a chance to strap it on with those guys again. So it was definitely a really cool experience.
Yeah, another product from the lacrosse factory that is Orangeville, Ontario. Now you played your lacrosse in Orangeville, but you also spent some time out on the West Coast in New Westminster playing junior lacrosse. What are your plans for the summer? Are you going to play indoor lacrosse either in the East or the West, or are you going to play Major League lacrosse again?
As of right now, I signed my contract with the Rochester Rattlers, so that's for sure I'll be playing with them in the Major Lacrosse League. As for the indoor, I'm kind of uncertain as to what I'm going to do. I think I might try and get a couple games in with Ajax just to, get some indoor experience with the big boys and just to keep my game sharp. And but as for playing in full season, I'm not really sure what's going to go on with that, because I'm also doing a bunch of camps throughout the United States. So I'm going to have a pretty busy summer.
Yeah, it's a tough conflict always to play in the summer in the Major Lacrosse League. But let's get back to the National Lacrosse League a little bit. This being your rookie year in the National Lacrosse League, is there anything that maybe you didn't expect to happen here in the National Lacrosse League? Or maybe, has there been an experience that you thought, wow, this is crazy being in the National Lacrosse League? Just talk about your first year.
There's a couple. Starting off my career playing in Colorado in front of thousands of fans, that was definitely an experience. I never really had the chance to play in front of that many fans. And, I've played in front of quite a bit in field lacrosse, but to have like the actual fans right on top of you, that's quite an experience. And I didn't expect that at all. And it was definitely very cool. A little nerve wracking at times, but once you get settled in and play and the whistle goes, you're fine. Just like any other game.
Yeah, it's usually a case, you kind of notice all those sort of things before the game starts, but once the whistle goes. It's kind of neat how, you know, the sounds and the faces all kind of go into a blur, and all of a sudden it's just the floor, and you don't really notice those surrounding things.
The one thing I really like is the music while you're playing. It kind of gets you in the groove, and, you know, the NHL is the only league that actually does that, so that was definitely an experience as well.
Yeah, put one on that side, because I know there's a lot of players that like that, and then there's some players that don't really like that, so that's interesting that you mentioned that you actually like the music playing while you're playing. So that kind of leads me into my next question here, Jason, is that if you could change a rule, or if you could make up a new one in the National Lacrosse League, what would that be?
If I could make up a new rule, what would
or
it be?
Or if you could change one.
If I could change a rule, it would definitely have to be the new rule where after the whistle, you can't have the ball in your stick, or like, to roll in the corner, you got to drop it immediately, because, you know, a lot of the times you're rolling, you're, you know, going 100 miles an hour, and then just to drop that ball, you kind of forget. It slips your mind a lot of times, and, you know, obviously you've seen just with the pace, the way things go in the league, like, you know, power play could either make or break the game. So I think that's definitely a game changer right there. I think they should take that rule out.
Well, I think that might be a case where just guys have been ingrained to do that their whole career, and then all of a sudden try and have to change that. That might be the cause of that. But I think maybe that we're going to see after a couple of years of that rule being in place that's something that'll just kind of come second in nature after a bit.
Exactly.
Now, you know, I've got a little more access to the team than most guys do, and while being in the dressing room with you, I've noticed a lot of tattoos on your body. Now, tell the Swarm fans how many tattoos you have, where they are on your body, and what they mean to you.
I currently have 4 tattoos. One is on my chest. I got one on my back, one on my ankle, and then one on my right calf. And basically all my tattoos they're kind of like stepping stones in my lacrosse career. I've got one for my college team, one for the junior team I played for, one that represents my time with Team Canada, and then the other one is for my prep school I went to, the Hill Academy. So it's kind of every one of my tattoos kind of tells a story. It's like a chapter in my life.
Interesting stuff. Now, you've been known to have a pretty hard shot. Has your shot ever been clocked? And what's the highest speed, if so?
Yeah, I actually got it clocked at one of my Major League Lacrosse practices this past summer. And I got it clocked at 107 miles an hour.
My goodness. And I think that's got to be right up there. It's one of the hardest shots in the league. I don't know too many guys that can get her over triple digits. So that's got to be a pretty good weapon to have as far as intimidating goalies.
Definitely. I mean, but the thing with, you know, the indoor, I'd rather be a little bit more precise than putting a little extra on the shot, but it definitely does help. You know, you got a little more range.
I want to ask you, we've been going through the guys at Neverland a little bit here. I think we only got Mickey Billick and Joel Henry left on the list, so we might have to get those guys inside the hive before the season comes to an end here. But I want to ask you a question about Neverland. Who is the funniest guy at Neverland, and who is the dirtiest guy at Neverland?
The funniest guy, I would have to say, is Nick Billick. He just has that Western style to him. He's very laid back, and he's got a pretty thick accent, so we always have a good time making fun of him and poking around with him. As for the messiest, I don't know if I could pick one particular person.
If you want to go with messiest, you can.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say just 238, that apartment. It's just all 3 of them combined. It's rough going in there sometimes. Food everywhere. There's not very clean guys.
Yeah, let the fans know who exactly is in 238 for us, would you?
Pat Smith, Nick Billick, and Joel Henry.
There you go. 2 out of the 3 guys we haven't had inside the hive yet are dirtiest guys in Neverland. Interesting stuff there, Jason. I'm going to turn you over to Alec here. I'm sure he's got some questions from some fans here via Twitter and Facebook. I appreciate you coming inside the hive, bud.
Well, thank you very much for having me. All right, Jay, we're going to start with a couple questions from Facebook. First question for you comes from Joel Clark. Working on shifts with the veterans,
Do they applaud you for taking opportunities at the goal and give you constructive criticism?
Yeah, no, they definitely do. And, you know, the thing with a lot of the guys, they, especially with Ryan Benesch and Crawford, having guys like that, they really help me out. And, you know, obviously they're role models and one of the best players, two of the best players in the league. So having those guys is really great.
Next question comes from John Hoffman, again on Facebook. Wants to know, do the coaches have a specific role for you out on the floor? And do you have enough freedom to try a few things as you're out there with Callum?
Yeah, I mean, my role as a player right now is, you know, I'm a rookie. I do whatever I can to make the team better. You know, I've been in the middle trying to, you know, muck it up and bang bodies and try and, you know, get Crawford open for a shot, because obviously he's one of the deadliest players in the league. So that's my role as of right now, is kind of working with Crawford, and, you know, he's helping me along the way, and, you know, he's a great guy to play with.
The last question here, this one was just emailed to us from Kristen and Egan. She wants to know if you've experienced any rookie hazing so far this season.
Surprisingly, we have not. I mean, all of us, you know, on the buses and stuff, we always, you know, we're the last ones to get off, and, you know, team meals, we're the last ones to eat. But other than that, we haven't had any rookie hazing, so it's been pretty light so far, but I'm expecting something soon.
Well, sounds good, Jay. You had two goals last week. Hope to see that continue again this weekend in a doubleheader, and we'll see you at the X on Friday.
Well, thank you very much. I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Jay.
Bye-bye.
That was Jay Card, rookie for the Minnesota Swarm. And, you know, by all accounts, Alec, one of the steals in the draft so far. Didn't go until the third round, but, you know, very happy to be able to grab Jay Card when we did. And he slotted into this lineup really nicely.
He really has. And I remember kind of those exact words coming out of John Arlotta's mouth after the draft, and same with Joe Sullivan, saying we got a real steal here in the third round with Jay Card. And yeah, he's been so fun to watch with that hard shot out there on the floor. You never know when he's going to snipe one from, you know, 20, 30 feet away. And such accuracy on that shot, too. It's going to be really fun to watch him develop there on that right side.
Yeah, and I'm playing with guys like Callum and Corbin Tao over there, and McIntosh as well. It's kind of had a nice mix with, you know, you got Callum being the leader, and then a couple of rookies and Corbin and Jay. And then you got a guy like McIntosh who really doesn't play like a rookie, but lots of different styles there to keep the defense on their toes.
Oh, exactly. That's, I think, the one interesting thing this season about the offense is just the different variety of players that you have. And the Swarm can they can score in so many different ways. You have your great outside shooters, you know, with Ryan Benesch and Jay Card, and your players like Corbin Tower on the crease, and then the rookies in transition like Jordan McIntosh. And they've been playing outstanding, scoring on the fast break opportunities, Andrew Suter, Injury Watts. So the team can hit you from so many different areas that it has to keep defenses off their toes. And Jake, what would you say the strongest area is as far as the Swarm goes scoring?
Well, you know, when we're at our best, I think it's the balance that we have, the amount of different guys that can put the ball in the net. And the guy that we're going to speak to shortly here, and Andrew Watt, really kind of showed that last game, getting up the floor in transition. But yeah, I think, you know, when we're at our best, it's when we're getting balanced scoring. We know we're going to get scoring from Callum and Ryan, but it's when, you know, Corbin, Jay, Joel, and Jordan, or all those guys are chipping in on the offensive end is when we're at our best, for sure. And something that kind of interests me with Jay a little bit, Alec, is, you know, he was really known for his shot coming into training camp, but what I've seen from Jay Card to start out this season and through training camp right from the get-go is that his willingness to get inside and go to the front of the net, and those were where his two goals came from last week.
No, absolutely. Not afraid to throw his body around out on the offensive side. And I remember in training camp, I remember hearing he was a tough player, and I think he might have gotten a couple fisticuffs with a couple guys and showed some emotion early on, just stepping up for himself and really playing physical. And it's really brought some toughness to the Swarm's offense this season, and whether it's setting screens or, yeah, just, you know, getting guys like Benesch and Crawford open. And, you know, as he gets, you know, more accustomed to the offense, I'm sure his scoring opportunities will only increase, likewise with, like, Corbin Tao.
Yeah, you know, he really kind of dispelled my opinion of him right off the bat with that. And you're right, he you know, I believe it was Nick Billick that really caught him with a pretty high hit and cut him open and just didn't faze him. You know, he just got stitched up and he was right back out there and bouncing around in the middle again. So good stuff there from Jay Card. And I believe we do have Andrew Watt on the line now. So let's bring Andrew Watt inside the Hive. Watty, are you there?
I am here, Jumbo. What's going on?
Well, just getting ready to pack the bag and head out towards Minnesota, as I'm sure you are as well, as it's a travel day for us tomorrow. And pretty happy to get back to Minnesota and get inside the Hive and play in front of our home fans again.
Yeah, likewise. You know, just doing the final preparations the night before travel, you know, having a nice dinner and getting the bags packed and getting ready to hit the road again, get back. So it's been, you know, six long weeks since we've been at the Hive, so we're all biting at the bit to get back there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that road trip a little bit as we go along. But the first thing I always like to ask players when I get them inside here, Andrew, is how did you get started playing lacrosse?
Actually, I got to give my my best buddy, Mark Tinning, credit for that one. I was playing baseball until I was about 10 years old, and, you know, I was kind of getting bored of baseball, not enough action, I guess. And he convinced me to try playing house league baseball and house league lacrosse. And then after one summer, pick which one I like best. And I went out to one lacrosse tryout and quit baseball on the spot. And, you know, I ended up making the all-star team. And, you know, it's kind of been, that's been the way of my lacrosse career has gone so far. You know, just kind of got into it randomly and loved it as soon as I started trying it.
Yeah, got to start a little bit later than most guys that make it to the professional level. But it's funny because we've mentioned, you know, a couple of times, I think it was Pat Smith that mentioned earlier that he was playing baseball. And most guys that play lacrosse don't like baseball and probably vice versa. They're just so completely different sports. And usually if you like one, you don't like the other.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's completely opposite, you know. The spectrum, baseball, a lot more slow-paced action, I guess you could call it, because there still is action, but just at a different rate. As lacrosse is, you know, pretty up-tempo in your face, you know, for 60 minutes straight, where a baseball game could take anywhere from an hour and a half to 4 hours. So, you know, it's just completely different. And then, you know, I love the pace of lacrosse, obviously, more than I love baseball.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some tough stuff here, Watty. We've had a couple of struggles over the last couple of games, particularly our starts. What are your thoughts and feelings on what's gone wrong the last couple of games? And, you know, what do you think we have to do here coming up this weekend to turn things around?
Yeah, like you said, Jumbo, that the slow starts have been killing us. It's pretty tough to come back in this league when you get down 5 or 6 in the first, you know, one or two quarters. I guess we got to take a look at our warm-up and pre-game preparations and the night before preparations and see if anything has to change there. And then, I mean, just coming out hungry right off the bat. I mean, there's only so many, you know, things you can do before the game. It's just being ready to come out there at the first whistle and just be ready to jump all over your opponent. I think we may have lost that killer instinct for a couple games there, and it cost us early. Like, we've come back in both games and, you know, made good pushes late, but, you know, that 5-goal deficit, I think, is just too much for us to get over. So we got to, you know, come out right at the first whistle and be ready to play 60 full minutes as opposed to just playing, you know, half the game or, you know, 3 solid quarters. So, yeah, that's what I would think, you know, just getting a better warm-up and better preparation and then coming out ready to go.
Well, I'm sure we're going to do that when we get back on our home field and in front of our own fans, and we'll come out with a good effort against Calgary. Andrew, I wanted to ask you how you ended up. I know there's been a few other guys from our team that have attended Robert Morris. How did you end up attending Robert Morris University?
It was actually kind of a fluke. I was trying to pursue a hockey scholarship at the time, and I was already a year removed from high school playing hockey, and a lot of the hockey offers were, you know, wait another year, our scholarships were all booked up, and Robert Morris was kind of in the same boat. They talked to me just briefly, the hockey team, and then they passed along my athletic resume, I guess you call it, over to, you know, the head coach at the time, Bear Davis, and he called me up, and I wasn't even really expecting a lacrosse scholarship to come around. Put my name out there, but didn't really hear much back. So I figured that was going to be, you know, was going to be hockey was the way I was going to get my education. But yeah, and then Robert Morris came knocking and I couldn't really refuse. It was a good fit, you know, a new program. I was, you know, one of the first few to sign for the program, you know, which was really cool and special in its own right. But, yeah, it was just kind of a fluke that Robert Morris came around, but I mean, it was a great 4 years down there. Bear Davis was a great head coach, you know, and it was great being able to play with, you know, Pat Smith, Corbin, and Jeff Gilbert as well. So,
and what were you taking what kind of classes were you taking while you were there?
I was taking sports management classes. That's what my major was in, sports management. But you know, took a couple other classes on the side. Actually, interesting enough, I took a bunch of American history classes. Found a professor I really enjoyed there, and continued to take his classes. So I took a bunch of U.S. history stuff too.
Interesting. Now I want to move on to, we had Vinesh on early in one of our episodes. We asked him about some of his superstitions and rituals that he goes through before the game, and he mentioned something about a neck massage before you guys start the game. Now, maybe you can tell the Swarm fans here, what kind of rituals and superstitions do you have, and also how this idea of the neck massage came around?
Superstitions and rituals. I'm not too crazy. It's pretty much just a tradition. I'll get a, you know, I'll get a nap on game day. Good meal in before, as soon as I get to the rink, I like having my peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a banana and, you know, some pretzels and animal crackers and a coffee. That'd be really the only ritual, that I do when I get to the rink. Superstitions, I guess. Yeah. Me and Benny's a little neck massage on the back of the net. I've been doing that since, I think it's junior is when we started that. Maybe even midget. I don't know where it really started from. I think it's just happened one game. I think we both probably had a good game. We said, well, let's go from there. And just so happens, you know, he's playing with me in Minnesota and we get to play together. So it's, you know, a ritual and a superstition that we get to share together, I guess. And yeah, it's just been like that forever. So I just bury my head on the back post and Benny comes up and kind of just throws his left arm on my neck, gives me a little massage. And then we all swarm. He gives me a little smack on the neck and we go from there. So that's one of our little routines and superstitions.
And he said, I think he also said that you're the only guy that he'll let tape his pads up. Is that true?
Yeah. I got, I don't know where that one came from either. I guess he must've had another, you know, maybe it was that 7-goal game against Washington, last year. I taped his pads for the first time, but, no, I've done that for a while as well. And I guess Corbin Tal's got the bright idea that I have to do his now as well. So, you know, I don't know what it is, if I got the touch for the taping of the pads or Pouchy's rubbing off on me too much. But
I was going to get a rep,
yeah,
somewhere, but I didn't want to do it unless you did. So I'm glad you threw that one out there instead of me. Waddy, what's your favorite sport other than lacrosse and why?
Well, I mean, when I was younger, obviously it would have been hockey, just because playing it my whole life and all that stuff. Since I've gotten out of playing hockey more, I guess I would have to say golf is now my favorite sport other than lacrosse. I love it. I can watch it on TV all day. I love going to the golf course in the summertime. You know, nothing better than going out there for 4.5-5 hours and, you know, hanging out with buddies or whoever and just going and enjoy throwing the golf.
Another golf reference, Alec. Are you recognizing the theme here? What, now I want to ask you, well, this might lead into your answer just previous, but if you could go watch one sporting event anywhere in the world, what would it be?
Ooh, one sporting event. Actually, you know what I would have to say? I'd probably have to say the championship game, NCAA championship game, or the Final Four weekend. Huge college basketball fan. I've never had the opportunity to do that. I think that would be a pretty spectacular weekend and sport to go watch.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be cool. And while we're on that topic, down to the Final Four here at the NCAA's, who you got winning?
It's got to be Kentucky. I was pulling for UNC, but when they hurt their point guard, unfortunately, I think they kind of ran out of steam without him. But I'm going to have to go with Kentucky. They're just too strong right now, and they got too many dominant players.
Well, that's my pick as well. As got a little thing with Mr. Suter going on that one, so we're both pulling for the Wildcats in that one. Buddy, besides mnswarm.com, which I know is your favorite website, what's your next favorite website to visit?
You know, I don't do a whole heck of a lot of surfing on the net. It would have to be, I guess, I'd check out the Insider quite often. Check out NLL.com quite often. I guess just my email. I'm not not a huge surfing the internet kind of guy. Don't really have much free time to do that. But when I do, it's probably just to check out what's going on in the other leagues and our league and stuff like that.
Okay. Okay. My last one for you here before I send you over to Alec. Now, are you married or you got a girlfriend here, Andrew? I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
Okay. You're almost, you said you like you had both there for a second. Okay, well, you might not want to let her listen to the show here, but if you could go on a date with any woman, dead or alive, who would it be, and what would you do?
Oh, geez. Really putting me on the spot here.
That's what it's all about, my man.
I don't know. It'd be totally cliche to say Oprah or something like that, because then she'd have to be right. I honestly, I'm not
a movie star, a professional athlete, or just a woman in general that you ever wanted to meet.
You know, I guess if it had to be a movie person, it'd be Eva Mendes. I don't know. I've had a crush on her since the first Fast and the Furious, since I was a young kid. So, I mean, I guess that would be the Hollywood one if that's what it has to come down to. But, yeah.
Take it. We'll take it. Andy, I appreciate you coming inside the Hive here. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm going to turn you over to Alec here, who's got a couple of questions from some fans for you.
All right, Jumbo. Sounds good.
Well, those are some tough questions to beat there, Jake. But, Andrew, before I jump into some fan questions, I wanted to ask you, you had a shorthanded goal last week on the road there against Washington. You have 11 total in your time with the Swarm. A lot of shorthanded goals. What do you credit that to?
I just think, a lot of things. It comes down to the coaches having the faith in me to break early on the man short. Also getting the ball from the goalies or the players up the floor with the passes, you know, whether it's leading me or hitting me on the run. I just think we've had some good chances and capitalized quite a bit on just reading the plays and breaking at the right time and, you know, ended up finishing the ball some on the shorthanded opportunities, which is nice. And it's kind of a momentum swinger too, so anytime you can pull a shorthanded goal, it's nice because, you know, you're not really expected to do that.
Now, one goal you scored against Colorado, I can't remember if this one was shorthanded or not, but Rich Morgan knocks down John Grant Jr., then Tyler Carlson hits you on the fast break, full length of the field play. Really nice goal you converted there. We've been watching it a lot in the office just to get a feel for the Hive again. Talk about that goal. That one had to be an exciting one to score.
Yeah, it was fun. It's always nice seeing Richie be able to run someone over like that and use his size. Fans pretty pumped up when they see it like that. And then on top of it, Kyle being able to hit me on a pass for a breakaway and the finish on that. It was just one of those where a whole lot of things went right, and it resulted in a positive play at the end for everybody.
All right, we'll get to some fan questions here now on Facebook. This one comes from John Hoffman. Going back to last weekend's game, you passed up a penalty shot there against Washington. Ryan Benesch took the shot. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, it wasn't necessary that I wanted to pass it up. It was, you know, the coach's decision to get Benny out there and, you know, to give him a crack at it. He is, you know, the leading scorer for a reason. So, I mean, they felt that he gave us the best chance to score on that penalty shot. So that was the reasoning for that. You know, maybe next time it will be my chance or Suter's chance or someone like that. But, you know, we have complete faith in our coaches and the other guys around us to, you know, to bury on a shot like that. Unfortunately, Benny didn't. But, you know, next time I'm sure it'll be a different story.
We have one more fan question. This is also from John. And I actually asked this to Kevin Ross last weekend. Yourself, Kevin, and Joe are the longest tenured players with the Swarm. How have things changed from when you first arrived with the team there in 2009 to the present?
Well, going from being a young guy on the team to being an old guy real quick in a year is a bit of a change. You know, with our team the past 4 years, 3 years previous, this is the fourth. First 3 years were, you know, we were an older, more experienced team. Had, you know, a lot more guys that have been around the league a lot longer. And now it was kind of our turn to be those guys that, you know, the young guys, like when we first came into the league, looked up to. You know, so it's just the age is probably the biggest difference. We're still a real tight-knit group, you know. Had made a lot of buddies back the previous 3 years, but now making more buddies, you know, new friends, so new teammates and all that. I would just say, you know, us being around the longest is kind of, you know, it's a compliment from the owners and the GM and stuff like that, keeping us around. So, yeah, I think just the age thing, and then that's pretty much been the biggest change, is just being a young guy and then all overnight being an old guy.
Well, like our earlier guest, Jay Card, you also had 2 goals last weekend. We hope to keep a hot hand this weekend in the doubleheader. Waddy, thanks for taking the time with us.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks, Watt. And a big thank you to Andrew Watt for joining us inside the Hive here as we have a few minutes left to wrap it up here, Alec. And, you know, some good stuff there between Jay and Waddy, and pretty candid comments from Andrew Watt there regarding what needs to happen here come Friday night.
No, absolutely. I think they all know exactly what they need to do this weekend. And, you know, getting back in front of the home crowd certainly has them extra motivated this weekend to put on a good show. And nice to talk to Jay and Andrew. Both guys are having solid seasons so far this year.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind here, Swarm fans that are listening in on both NLL Radio and NMandSwarm.com, it's Heroes Night at XL Energy Center at the Hive. And, Alec, I know this is one of your favorite nights of the year. This will be my first time to experience it, but a chance for the Swarm to honor the firemen, the policemen, all the social workers that protect the city and state of Minnesota, and a pretty fantastic night here on Friday coming up for Heroes Night at the Hive.
Right. Like you said, one of my favorite games. I know one of the favorite games that the entire organization gets to put on. Yeah, just honoring everyone in, you know, the state of Minnesota and even nationally too, just, you know, the heroes in our lives that make a difference every day. And I know the players, they take it very seriously as well. So it should be a great game. It's going to be another good turnout, getting ready to rock and roll at the Hive again.
Yeah, well, I appreciate everyone, as I know you do, for listening to Inside the Hive here. That's just about going to do it for us. Make sure you go and check out swarmawards.com, as you can get on Facebook and Twitter. Do all your normal social networking and have a chance to earn some points. And with those points, you have an opportunity to win some fantastic prizes. So make sure you check out Swarm Awards. And also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Minnesota_Swarm. And for yourself, Alec, it's Alec_. And maybe you can spell your last name here for the fans here, Shimke, because sometimes that one catches me a little by surprise.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, Alec_Shimke, S-C-H-I-M-K-E.
There you go. That's Alec Shimke. And if you want to follow myself on Twitter, it's PXPForLax at twitter.com/PXPForLax.
Hey, I need to work on getting a cooler username than just my first and last name. You might need to help me out with that.
Well, maybe some of the fans can submit something there for Alec if you can come up with maybe a little more original Twitter handle than Alec_Shimke is. Starting to get off the rails here a little bit, Alec. Let's wrap it up inside the Hive here. We appreciate you listening in. Look for another episode coming next week. And a big weekend coming up here for the Swarm as they take on the Roughnecks on Friday and then the Rush on Saturday. That's going to do it for us. And for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.